Learning Sefer Tehillim, this is Shir number 38. We are learning with the commentary of Ma'am Lois. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We actually started in our last shiur, chapter 74, pasuk 1. I'm going to repeat the pasuk again. Maskil la'osav lama lehim zonachto lenetzach yeshan apcha betzoyin marisecha. Maskil of Asav, why, O Hashem, have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the flock of your pasture? You have performed many great wonders for us and redeemed us as your tribe of inheritance. So it is fitting that we should again be delivered. Hence 3, should you not deliver us on account of Mount Sinai, where we accepted your Torah, and 4, on account of Mount Zion, which you exalted by making it your dwelling place, have you utterly rejected Yehuda? Has your soul despised Zion? A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. The pasuk, the verse, includes a plea against our enemies. Let Hashem avenge the vengeance of Israel. Thus it says, why does your anger smoke against the flock of your pasture? The wolves have devoured the sheep grazing in your pasture. They were not grazing in an open field. Avenge your sheep. Because you have punished us in the full severity of your attribute of judgment, it is surely fitting that you should now be merciful towards us. You are abundant in merciful loving kindness. So why, O Hashem, have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the flock of your pasture? Another interpretation follows the teaching of our sages. Even when sheep harm the trees, their owner does not punish them. The same pertains to Israel. Even when they commit transgression, Hashem treats them as his flock. Accordingly, the singer demands, because we are the flock of your pasture, it is fitting that we should not be punished, even if we have sinned before you. Even if we have sinned before you, you have already redeemed us from Mitzrayim to become the tribe of your inheritance. You redeemed us despite the fact that in Mitzrayim we were sunk in 49 measures of defilement. Hence it is fitting that you also be merciful towards us. The word Netzach hints that the holy Beis Hamikdash was destroyed in the fourth millennium. Thus Netzach is the fourth attribute in the sequence of fundamental attributes that correspond to the 6 days, the sixth millennium of the world's existence. Gedola Gevura Tiferes Netzach Hoyd Yisoid. The seventh day corresponds to the awesome millennium of Malchus, when the world will be destroyed. This means that you will allow exile and suffering to continue for a very long time. During all this time, your anger will smoke against the flock of your pasture. Why, O Hashem, have you cast us off forever? The first exile lasted only 70 years. So why have you allowed the present exile to continue endlessly? After the destruction of the Holy Temple, the Beis Hamikdash, why does your anger continue to smoke against the flock of your pasture? Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Zechor adoscho kadiso kedem ga'alto shevet nachalosecha harzion zeh shechadto boy. Remember your congregation which you have acquired of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your inheritance, and Mount Zion where you have dwelt. The singer entreats Hashem to remember two things. One, remember your congregation. They are your congregation, and it is honorable for a king to deal mercifully with his subjects and his country. Furthermore, you have acquired of old. We already became your possession in ancient times, as it says in Chumash Devarim, is he not your father who bought you? This people whom you have acquired, possibly is found in Chumash Shemos, it is the way of a gardener to be proud of his long-standing garden and to cherish it. You have redeemed the Jews from Egypt by miracles and wonders to be the tribe of your inheritance. They are your tribe and also your inheritance, as Moshe, our teacher, said,
found in Chumash Devarim, and they are your people and your inheritance. They are like a land inherited for perpetuity. It endures because it cannot be destroyed. Mount Zion, where you have dwelt, is now in ruins. So long as it appears that the Beis Hamikdash would never be rebuilt, that is the profanation of Hashem's name. Israel is one of the six things whose creation preceded the creation of the world. As it says, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, and before ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are Hashem. This is a pasuk that's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. Even as you bought them from Egypt, so also buy them now from the present exile. They were the tribe of your inheritance in Egypt. They remained unique by calling upon your name. You acquired them and then redeemed them from its tribe until you brought them to Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Similarly, the Torah says in the Song of the Sea, this people whom you have acquired, you will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance. Remember your congregation which you have acquired of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your inheritance. They followed you into the wilderness, a land that was not sown, a pasuk that is found in Yirmiyahu. Remember too the tribe in the kingdom of your inheritance, the kingship of the house of David, and remember Mount Zion, of which you said, this is my resting place forever, a pasuk that is found later on in Sefer Tehillim. It is fitting that you remember Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. It is not to your glory that this mountain where you dwelt should be desolate. This may also be understood by means of a parable. A man named Shimon arranged for his son to wed the daughter Reuven, who was very poor. The wedding was set to take place in 12 months. In the meanwhile, the poor man became wealthy, and he told his future relative that he would now give a dowry to the new couple. Just prior to the wedding, however, when Reuven had to hand over the dowry, he changed his mind. Shimon took him to court. "I am surprised at you," Reuven said. "What claim have you on me? Did you contract this marriage with a man of wealth? I was then a penniless pauper. Just because now I am rich, I do not see why this should cost me." This parable illustrates the singer's protest. Remember your congregation, which you have acquired of old. When you acquired us, were we rich? We were the poorest of the poor, devoid of everything, as slaves to Paro Mitzrayim. True, we subsequently acquired wealth, Torah and mitzvahs, but we were poor when you chose us. So why should you now demand to see meritorious deeds in us? You have acquired of old, as it also says in Chumash Devarim, is he not your father who bought you? Regarding this matter, our sages declare, a king inherited 6 fields and then purchased an additional field with his own money. The field that I acquired in my own is more precious to me than any of the others, said the king. Similarly, the singer says, but we are your people, which you have acquired of old, before the creation of the world, so it is proper for you to be merciful towards us. The singular form of tribe conveys that all Jewish people were like one person with a single heart. They went as one towards God into a land that was not sown, as found in Yirmiyahu. In another interpretation, tribe refers specifically to the tribe of Levi. You redeemed all the Jews on account of the Levium, whereas the rest of the Jewish people in Egypt were poorly clad and bare. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yecheskel of Torah learning and mitzvahs. The Levium occupied themselves with Torah study. The end letters of the words Har Zion Zer Shechanta Bo spells Torah. Pasuk Gimel, pasuk 3. Harima pa mechol lema ashuos netzach kol hira oye vakodesh. Lift up your steps because to the perpetual ruins to all the evil done by the enemy in the sanctuary. Lift up your steps, the singer appeals to Hashem. Arise from your lofty seat because of the perpetual ruins. Gaze at the eternal desolation, at all the evil, havoc, and destruction done by the enemy in the sanctuary. Lift up your eyes, as it says, rise up, Hashem, and let your enemies be scattered. The pasuk that is found in Chumash Bamidbar. Wreak eternal havoc upon those who destroyed your holy Beis HaMikdash and make it a perpetual ruin. All the evil done by the enemy in the sanctuary alludes to Titus and the Roman Empire, the fourth kingdom, who blasphemed and reviled. The Medrash says, you commanded us that three times a year will all your males appear before Hashem your God, the pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. But now, these occasions have been transformed into ruins. So lift up your steps, elevate the status of the three pilgrimage festivals, for the nations proclaim that these are perpetual ruins. They say that there is no hope, that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is forever. All the evils done by the enemies in the sanctuary, they have afflicted the people of Israel, who are a sanctuary of Hashem. The pasuk found in Yirmiyahu, Israel is holy to Hashem, the first fruit of his increase. All the evil done, the most terrible evil of all, was done in the sanctuary, in Beis HaMikdash. The fact that the enemy entered the sanctuary is the most terrible evil of all. Pasuk Dalet. Sha'agu tzorerecho bekerv moedecho samu oisoysam oisoys. Your adversaries have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They have set up their signs for signs. The singer depicts the roars of victory by the enemy upon reaching the holy temple, the Beis HaMikdash, that Hashem had appointed as the place of his habitation. They roared in triumph at the site where the people of Israel would assemble on the pilgrimage festivals, the Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. They have set up their signs for signs regarding this site. Before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the enemy had sought signs to see if they would be victorious. As the prophet Yechezkel says, for the king of Babylon stood at the parting of the way at the head of two ways to use divination. He shook the arrows, he consulted the teraphim, he looked into the liver. At his right hand was a divination for Yishlaim, pasuk that's found in the Yechezkel. The signs indicated to the Babylonians they should march on Yishlaim and destroy it, and they understood that the signs conveyed the truth. Similarly, the Medrash says, they said, on that day we shall capture them. They took hold of their arrows and marked them with signs. When they shot an arrow to the north, it would travel south towards Yerushalayim. They repeated the same thing in all four directions, and each time the arrow headed south. As it says, he shook the arrows. Every sign they consulted said the same thing, and they were assured of victory. They roared, which concurs with a pasuk in Sefer Megillas Eicha, they have made a noise in the house of Hashem. After having destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they set their flags there, as conquerors will do. They raised them high to flaunt their splendor and majesty. Because the enemy saw themselves as mighty warriors, they set up their signs for signs. They proclaimed their signs to be more exalted than the signs of Hashem in the holy Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk 5. Yevoda kamevi lemola besvach eitz kardumos. They are known as yielding axes on high in a thicket of trees. Pasuk Vav. V'ato pituchecho yochat v'chashil v'chalefos yahalom. And now it's carved work together. They strike down with hatchet and hammers. The singer describes the terrible upheaval by contrasting the process of building with the destruction. Previously it was known that anyone wielding axes in a thicket of trees was involved in construction on high. It was known that he was bringing down trees for the purpose of constructing the Beis HaMikdash. But now the opposite happened. The enemy used hatchet and hammers, sharp-edged implements and heavy hammers, usually employed for crushing rocks, to strike down all the carved ornaments of gold upon the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. Another interpretation says the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was known before you. It was as if the axes were brought on high into the Supernal Beis HaMikdash. Due to the immense height of your Supernal Beis HaMikdash, they set the axes in a long thicket of wood in order to reach the Beis HaMikdash on high. Then again, the singer recalls the fact that it was forbidden to use iron in the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Anyone who brought iron inside was condemned, but now iron was used to wreck the ornaments on the doors of the Beis HaMikdash. They did strike down with the hatchet and hammers what had previously been forbidden for even a single person to do, not even for the purpose of construction, was now perpetuated by many for destruction. Our sages expound, Nebuchadnezzar dispatched to Nebuzaradan 300 donkeys laden with metal pieces capable of piercing iron. All of them were absorbed without effect by just a single gate of Yerushalayim, as it says literally, and now in one of its doors they strike down with hatchet and hammers. Whereupon Nebuzaradan prepared to depart, when an echo voice came forth when there remained but a single hammer. He struck the gate with its blunt end, and it opened. Thereby did Hashem make it clear to Nebuchadnezzar, who had intended to capture Yerushalayim by natural means, that he could not capture it except by miraculous means. Pesach Zion, Pesach 7. Shilchu ba'ish b'toshecho lo'oretz chilulu mishkan shemecha. They have set your sanctuary on fire. They have desecrated the dwelling place of your name on earth to the ground. The first enemy action was to wreck the Beis Hamikdash's perfectly splendid ornaments. Then they set your sanctuary on fire. They desecrated the dwelling place of your name. This was the dwelling place of your name, yet they raised it to the ground. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Amru belibam ivam yochad sorfu komoade el boritz. They said in their heart, let us destroy them together. They have burnt up all the meeting places of Hashem in the land. The term ninam can be translated in three different ways, and there are three corresponding interpretations of the present pasuk. If ninam is read as their descendants, nin means a great grandson. The singer says, the future generations of the Jewish people say in their heart, they have burnt up all the meeting places of Hashem in the land. We have not seen our signs. There is no longer a prophet. The enemies have destroyed all the sanctuaries in the land where the Jewish people would come as pilgrims, and we no longer behold the miracles that took place in the sanctuary. There is no longer a prophet to inform us when the redemption will be. Neither is there among us any who know how long the present exile will continue. Another reading of Ninam Yachad, let us destroy them together. The enemy has always sought to destroy our unity as a people, and for this reason they have burned up all the meeting places of Hashem in the land, the spiritual centers of Israel. A different interpretation says, they said in their heart, let us exterminate all their young. They should have no grandchild or great-grandchild. They have burned all the meeting places of Hashem in the land where youngsters gathered to study the Torah. For Israel is sustained by the voices of the young chanting the Torah together in their graves. Then again, let us destroy them together. It refers to destruction of both the Beis Hamikdash below, the physical Beis Hamikdash, and the Beis Hamikdash on high, the spiritual Beis Hamikdash. The enemy said in their heart, by burning the Beis Hamikdash below, the Beis Hamikdash on high is also burnt. A third rendering of Ninam is their king. All their kings, from first to last, had but one thought. It was to assault and destroy the Hashem of Israel by destroying his abode, spiritual annihilation. Then they thought to destroy Israel physically. Thus the Plishtim destroyed the Mishkan at Shiloh. Nebuchadnezzar demolished the first Beis Hamikdash, and Titus raised the second Beis Hamikdash. A parable. We may clarify this matter by means of a parable. A poor wagon driver accidentally struck and damaged a tablet that hung above the gate to the house of judgment. This tablet bore a likeness of the king. The wagoner was tried and convicted for his offense. As punishment, he was to replace the old tablet by a new one out of his own pocket. Sometime later, a group of rebels entered the city with a mighty shout, saw the new tablet bearing the king's likeness, pounced upon it, and broke it. The men were seized, tried, and sentenced to death. The condemned men protested to the judge, this is a miscarriage of justice. When that pauper broke the tablet, he only gave him a monetary fine. Yet you sentenced us to death? They were told, the pauper did not break the tablet deliberately, it was accidental. Therefore he was fined to replace the tablet with another. But you entered the city with a roar and destroyed the tablet because you wanted to insult the honor of the king. You are condemned for having rebelled against the king. If the intention of those who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash had been to demolish what they considered to be a stronghold, lest it be used in the war against them, this would not have been regarded as such a terrible evil on their part. However, they entered with a roar of trumpets, knowing full well that the Beis HaMikdash below was not a military installation, but a counterpart of the Beis HaMikdash on high. Thus Titus desecrated the Beis HaMikdash and ran his sword through the curtain of the Holy of Holies. It was fitting, therefore, that they be punished by the scepter of the king of the world. Accordingly, the singer says, they are known as yielding axes on high in a thicket of trees. This is a pasuk we learned already earlier. They are to be punished for having cut down, as if were a real with a real axe, the Beis HaMikdash on high. Although the enemy only desecrated the dwelling place of your name on earth, still, at the destruction they said in their heart, let us destroy them together, the Beis HaMikdash below and the Beis HaMikdash on high. They have burnt up all the meeting places of Hashem in the land. In destroying the Beis HaMikdash, their intention was to cause the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, to disappear from the land. Having thus planned to debase the glory of Hashem and to rebel against them, their forthcoming punishment must match the severity of their deed. The Medrash expounds, they are known as yielding axes on high. It is as if they have brought axes on high, for they set their axes in a thicket of trees. They inserted the axes in long wooden handles in order to reach on high. Nor is this something they alone have done. Their forefathers did the same thing, as it says, come, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven, and let us make a name. It's found in Chumash Bereishis. A city means nothing other than idol worship, and a name is nothing other than idol worship. Our Chachamim have associated the present pasuk with Hadrian, who entered the Beis HaMikdash, blasphemed and vilified. Accordingly, David says, Master of the world, bring upon them your retribution. The pasuk is found in Yechezkel, for it is as if they had cut down the cedars of the temple in order to ascend to the sky. Pasuk test, pasuk 9. O Soseinu, lo re'inu, ein od navi, lo itonu yodeya admo. We have not seen our signs. There is no longer a prophet, neither is there among us any who know how long. We have not yet seen our signs, the signs of our redemption, and our gullus has lasted a very long time. Ever since the gullus began the exile, there is no longer a prophet. Subsequent to the death of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, there has not been a prophet to foretell the future, nor has Eliyahu come. He is supposed to be revealed to us in the future, close to redemption, but he has not yet come. Ever since the day the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there has been a decline in open miracles. Our Chachamim teach that five things were missing in the second Beis HaMikdash: the Oren, the Ark of Law with its cover, and the Cheruvim, the fire lit on the altar, the Shekhinah, the Holy Spirit, and the Urim and Thummim. With the death of the later prophets Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, the Holy Spirit of prophecy ceased from within the people of Israel, and thereafter the Bas Kol was in use. At the present time, both prophecy and the Bas Kol has ceased. Accordingly, David says here, we have not seen our signs, namely the fire descending from heaven, the divine presence, the protruding letters of the Urim and Thummim. There is no longer a prophet, and in our day even the Bas Kol has departed from us. Some say that the Torah refers to the following signs, the sign concerning which the prophet said that whoever harms you is as if harming the pupil of his own eye, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Zechariah. The signs which you showed against the Plishtim for our sake, we have not seen. These signs at the time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Titus and his armies. Neither is there among us any who know how long the present gullus will still continue. The enemy have set up their signs for signs, the pasuk that we learned earlier, and they exalt their idols for having put my sanctuary into their hand. We, however, have not seen our signs. We do not see a single one of the signs which we were accustomed to see. One sign in particular that we do not see is that an unclean person, he had not been cleansed of his sins, who entered the sanctuary died. Neither is there among us any who know why it is that there is no longer a prophet. The singer protests why knowledge of the end of days has been curtailed, why we have no near sign or wondrous event to inform us of what is far away but approaching. Why is there no longer a prophet who could tell us this? Neither is there anyone who knows the end of the Golus. As our sages declare, all calculations ends have come to an end, and the thing redemption depends on nothing except repentance. The singer also complains why it is that even though Hashem performs miracles for us every day, we do not see any evident signs, open miracles, such as we had seen at the time of the going out from Mitzrayim. The Medrash says, we have not seen our signs, that sign which you indicated to us, namely, behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the ends of the earth. The pasuk that is found in Yirmiyahu. And that sign of which the Torah says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings. The pasuk that is found in Yeshayahu. These signs we do not see. Why is this so? For there is no longer prophet, neither is there among us any who know how long. Similarly, the prophet says in Eicha, for the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. There is no longer a prophet to tell us anything that would revive our spirits. Everything is sealed before us, even as it says in Daniel, and you, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book until the time of end. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Advasai lehim yecharev tzor yenoetz oyev shim cholenetzach. How long, O Hashem, will the adversary vilify? Will the enemy reproach your name forever? From the depth of his heart, the singer asks, how long, O Hashem, will the adversary vilify your name? How long will the enemy reproach, anger your name by boasting that you cannot take us out of this exile, this gullus? This also alludes to the vilification and blaspheming by Titus, who declared that your power extends only over the sea. Who says with scorn all day, where is your Hashem? Your name forever. The singer says that of course he does not mean that these vilifications can in any way affect you, for your name is forever. Your name does not change, and its glory is not diminished. These pesukim may be clarified further by an example. Riots broke out in a certain city. Mobs took over the shul and forced our people to conduct their services in a makeshift house of prayer. By the time the marauders abandoned the shul, they had damaged it so badly that 10 years later, masonry still continued to fall from the roof. The roof and the ceiling had been built by great artisans, and no one living was able to repair what the vandals had ruined. In a similar sense, David says, it is known before you that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was perpetuated by men yielding axes on high, men whose purpose was the destruction of the supernal temple. Because of its immense height, however, they put the axes in the thicket of trees, long wooden handles, in order to reach the upper realm of the supernal temple. The result was that the abundance, which until then had come down from on high, ceased. Figuratively, it was as if now its carved work together, they strike down with hatchet and hammers. What is more, the destruction appears to be continuing until the present day. They have sent fire into your sanctuary. They have desecrated your name to the ground. So awful is the desecration and its aftermath that our enemies seem to have driven us all the way into the ground. The enemy asks with scorn, where is your God? Moreover, the kings gloat at the destruction perpetrated against us by their ancestors. We cannot return to build the Beis HaMikdash anew, because we have not seen our signs. There is no longer a prophet, neither is there among us any who know how long, as we learned earlier. The holy Beis HaMikdash will only be rebuilt through signs in heaven and by the word of a prophet. So it is that adversary continues to vilify and the enemy continues to reproach your name. For they have burnt up all the meeting places of Hashem in the land. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Lama Sashiv Yodcho Viminecho Mikerov. Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand, from within your bosom, consume them? The singer continues to protest. Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand? Why do you put your hand behind you? A warrior reaches forward with his hand. nor is there even any need for you to fight with your hand. Even if you were to put hand in your bosom, keep it inactive, you could consume them. You withdrew your right hand at the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. But why do you continue until today to withdraw both your left hand and your right hand? It is indicated that at the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, both the might and the loving kindness of God were absent. In another interpretation, from within your bosom, consume them refers to the enemy. Please turn tape over to side B.